Welcome to Radio Kinver's Poetry Pod, our occasional collection of poems that you have asked to hear. As always, it is introduced by Edmund Preston of Yew Tree House.
And welcome, Poetry Pod, summer 2018, the hottest summer in England, well, in the UK for years. And the sights, the sound, the flowers are all spectacular. Let's open this show with Hope, read by Julie Harris. We all need hope.
Hope is the thing with feathers that perches on the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me.
That was, of course, the beautiful Julie Harris from her one-woman show, The Belle of Amherst, the poems of Emily Dickinson. Available the full broadcast on YouTube. If you've never seen it, do watch it. It's fabulous and funny. Right, so that was played for Dolores and her husband Juan, living in Madrid, and came to, well, RK about 9 years ago. I should say we haven't changed the intro. Because whenever town is down here, we've got other things to talk about. And I forget to get him to do a new intro as RKWP Poetry Pod. It doesn't matter. We all know. Right. Now a New Zealand poet, Janet Frame. Wonderful poet, wonderful writer. And this is a great, odd poem. It's called The Cat of Habit. And I've been asked to play this by Marianne, who said this poem literally describes my cat. I think, you know, it may well describe all cats. But to you, happy birthday in New Zealand sometime this summer. No, in fact, it's on July the 19th, the same day as my husband Chris. So you share a birthday. And let's all share The Cat of Habit, read by the author Janet Frame. And I just must tell you, this is from a book, Collected Poets of New Zealand. It's a wonderful book, and it comes with two CDs of the authors reading their poems. It's available on Amazon, and I'll put it on the show links. There you go. Here is Janet Frame.
The Cat of Habit knows the place by heart, or at least by space, scent, direction, bulk. By shadow and light, moonlight, starlight, sunlight, and where to nest in each with a three-focused shut eye on who or what's coming and going on the earth and in the sky. And distantly, not present, the rays of inkling shining within the furred skull. The Cat of Habit curls her spine in the most windless, the most warm place, shivering a little, it's mine, an ear twitch, tail flip of permanent ownership. The Cat of Habit has the place marked, the joint cased, feed and sleep and feed, and half-heartedly catch moths and mice, and mostly watch hour-long for the passing witch, for many unseen pass through the rooms of the house and outside, under the trees and in the grass.
That was the voice of the New Zealand poet Janet Frame, reading a wonderful cat poem. Right, let's go over to Oscar Wilde. Jim Broadbent reading On Easter Day. And this is for Danny and Sue in Bournemouth, and also for Michael and Kenny up there in Arbroath. Oscar Wilde, as requested, Better Late Than Never.
The silver trumpets rang across the dome. The people knelt upon the ground with awe, and borne upon the necks of men I saw, like some great god, the holy lord of Rome. Priest-like he wore a robe more white than foam, and king-like swathed himself in royal red. Three crowns of gold rose high upon his head. In splendor and in light the Pope passed home. My heart stole back across wide wastes of years to one who wandered by a lonely sea and sought in vain for any place of rest. Foxes have holes and every bird its nest. I, only I, must wander wearily and bruise my feet and drink wine salt with tears.
That was Jim Broadbent reading Oscar Wilde's On Easter Day. Music by Anton Bruckner, Fifth Symphony, Second Movement, the Adagio, and that was in a B major from the album Words for You, the next chapter, as is this next song. Freudian slip there. I thought I was back on the ordinary RKWP pod. No, it's Poetry Pod. Right, this is the wonderful actress, and I've loved her since we saw her in black leather in The Avengers back in the 60s. This is a poem by one of my favourite poems, Elizabeth Jennings, One Flesh. And I'm dedicating this to Alicia and Miguel living in a tiny, tiny village in the Algarve, but only about 20 miles from the main tourist centre, but it's a tiny village. They've been living there for 3 years now. They moved there when she got disabled and had difficulty in moving. And so there's nothing like a small village for coming together to support you and to help you. And the community is wonderful. And we'd like to hear One Flesh by Elizabeth Jennings to celebrate her 22nd wedding anniversary towards the end of August. Well, this is the Summer Poetry Pod. Here is Anna Blackman.
Lying apart now, each in a separate bed, he with a book, keeping the light on late, she like a girl, dreaming of childhood, all men elsewhere. It is as if they wait some new event. The book he holds, unread, her eyes fixed on the shadows overhead. Tossed up like flotsam from a former passion, how cool they lie. They hardly ever touch. Or if they do, it is like confession of having little feeling or too much. Chastity faces them, a destination for which their whole lives were a preparation. Strangely apart, yet strangely close together. Silence between them, like a thread to hold and not wind in, and time itself's a feather touching them gently. Do they know they're old, these two, who are my father and my mother, whose fire from which I came has now grown cold?
The beautiful voice of Anna Blackman reading Elizabeth Jennings' poem, One Flesh. The music there, and it wasn't from the same album, it's from the first album, Voices for You. It's a wonderful album, and there's two or three of them now. And the music is that wonderful Serbian classic guitarist Milos Karadaglic. And that was from the work Tararega, an excerpt from Adalita. Wonderful classic guitarist. Right, and where to next? We're only on 10 minutes 49 because poems, you see, are so short. Let's have a look. We've got some really great things for you. It's time we had a Garrison Keillor poem. And there's been a lot of fuss, but I think he's managed to refute all the charges against him. He's just a great, great poet reader and a great broadcaster. Alan and Michael in Wolverhampton and Jane and Peter in Chiswick in London. Both asked to hear Thanks, Robert Frost, as read by the inimitable Garrison Keillor. Taken, of course, from the daily, wonderful Writer's Almanac.
Here's a poem for today by David Ray, entitled Thanks, Robert Frost. Do you have hope for the future? Someone asked Robert Frost toward the end. Yes, and even for the past, he replied, that it will turn out to have been all right for what it was, something we can accept, mistakes made by the selves we had to be, not able to be perhaps what we wished, or what looking back half the time it seems we could so easily have been or ought. The future, yes, and even for the past, that it will become something we can bear. And I too, and my children, so I hope, will recall as not too heavy the tug of those albatrosses I sadly placed upon their tender necks. Hope for the past, yes, old Frost, your words provide that courage, and it brings strange peace that itself passes into past, easier to bear because you said it rather casually, as snow went on falling in Vermont years ago.
Garrison Keillor reading a poem by David Ray and saying thanks, Robert Frost. I love Garrison Keillor's voice. Right, now let's have a Scottish actor, John Sessions. Was very big, very popular on TV, movies all through the 70s and 80s. Still pops up larger, older, and just as talented. This is him reading a poem by Robert Louis Stevenson called Requiem. And this has been requested by Callum and Marie, living in South Down in Northern Ireland, to mark their admiration and their surprise that they finally rediscovered, or discovered for them, Robert Louis Stevenson as a poet. Couldn't agree more. Requiem.
Robert Louis Stevenson. Under the wide and starry sky, dig the grave and let me lie. Glad did I live and gladly die, and I laid me down with a will. This be the verse you grave for me. Here he lies where he longed to be. Home is the sailor, home from sea, and the hunter home from the hill.
I'd always wondered where that quote came from. Home is the sailor, home from the sea. Now we know. Right, let's have a poem by Christina Rossetti, read by the lovely Helena Bonham Carter, an actress whose my only contact with is that I once trod on her. I was working at a theatre on a Sunday in the West End, recording all the stars that were appearing for this great big charity contest, raising money for the Terence Higgins Trust. And our cameraman had run out of battery, so I dashed to the back of the theatre, got the battery, and was running down the aisle, not realising somebody was sitting in the aisle, stupidly. And it was poor Helena Bonham Carter, and I eventually trod on her, much to my eye, and I apologised much, and she was charming. So, but she's a wonderful actress. Room with a View, so many fabulous films. Here she is reading a poem by Christina Rossetti, A Dream. This is for Alison, wishing you well and a speedy recovery soon.
Here now, a curious dream I dreamed last night, each word whereof is weighed and sifted truth. I stood beside Euphrates while it swelled, like overflowing Jordan in its youth. It waxed and coloured sensibly to sight, till out of myriad pregnant waves there welled young crocodiles, a gaunt, blunt-featured crew, fresh-hatched perhaps, and daubed with birthday dew. The rest, if I should tell, I fear my friend, my closest friend, would deem the facts untrue, and therefore it were wisely left untold. Yet if you will, why, hear it to the end. Each crocodile was girt with massive gold and polished stones that with their wearers grew. But one there was who waxed beyond the rest, wore kinglier girdle and a kingly crown, whilst crowns and orbs and sceptres starred his breast, all gleamed compact and green with scale on scale, but special burnishment adorned his mail, and special terror weighed upon his frown. His punier brethren quaked before his tail, broad as a rafter, potent as a flail. So he grew lord and master of his kin, but who shall tell their tale of all their woes? An execrable appetite arose. He battened on them, crunched, and sucked them in. He knew no law, he feared no binding law, but ground them with inexorable jaw. The luscious fat distilled upon his chin, exuded from his nostrils and his eyes, while still like hungry death he fed his maw, till every minor crocodile being dead and buried too, himself gorged to the full, he slept with breath oppressed and unstrung claw. Oh, marvel passing strange, which next I saw in sleep. He dwindled to the common size, and all the empire faded from his coat. Then, from far off, a winged vessel came, swift as a swallow, subtle as a flame. I know not what it bore of freight or host, but white it was as an avenging ghost. It levelled strong Euphrates in its course, supreme yet weightless as an idle moat. It seemed to tame the waters without force, till not a murmur swelled or billow beat. Lo, as the purple shadow swept the sands, the prudent crocodile rose on his feet and shed appropriate tears and wrung his hands. What can it mean, you ask? I answer not for meaning, but myself must echo, what? And tell it as I saw it on the spot.
That was The Dream by Helena Bonham Carter. Sorry. By Christina Rossetti, read for you there by Helena Bonham Carter. Right, now we're going to have an amusing poem, looking back to our embarrassing times as young people. This is the lovely Fleur Adcock, the New Zealand English poet, and it's called Camping.
It's just called Camping. When you're 15, no one understands you. And why had I been invited anyway on a camping holiday with my Latin teacher and her young friends, two men in their 20s? I didn't understand them either. The one I fancied was the tall one with soft brown eyes. He was a hairdresser. One day the primus toppled over and a pan of water scalded his foot. The skin turned into soggy pink crepe paper. Grisly, but it gave him a romantic limp and a lot of sympathy. Once he condescended to lean on my shoulder for a few steps along a wooded path. Next time I offered, he just laughed. Funnily enough, 2 days later, I scalded my own foot. Not badly, but as badly as I dared. It didn't work. Everyone understood me perfectly.
That was the wonderful New Zealand and English poet, Fleur Adcock. I say both because she lives 50% one, 50% the other. And we're both of us, New Zealand and England, delighted to have her. And now we're going to Wales. This is for Ianto, Elaine, his wife, in South Wales, and Michael and his married partner, Thomas, living not very far away on the coast. Send us Edmund, please, under Milkwood. Even a small selection would be great for the next Poetry Pod. And we think the Joanne Griffith recording is brilliant. Even better, dare we say, than Richard Burton. Well, you know, I agree. Here it is, just for you all.
From Under Milk Wood, Delan Thomas. The Reverend Eli Jenkins, in Bethesda House, gropes out of bed into his preacher's black, combs back his bard's white hair, forgets to wash, pads barefoot downstairs, opens the front door, stands in the doorway and looking out at the day and up at the eternal hill, and hearing the sea break and the gab of birds, remembers his own verses and tells them softly to empty Coronation Street that is rising and raising its blinds. Y parchedig Eli Jenkins o Dan y Wenallt. Dear Gwalia, I know there are towns lovelier than ours, and fairer hills and loftier far, and groves more full of flowers, and boskier woods more blithe with spring, and bright with birds adorning, and sweeter bards than I to sing their praise this beauteous morning. By Cader Idris, tempest torn, o Moel yr Wyddfa's glory, Carnedd Llywelyn, beauty born, Plyn Limon, old in story, by mountains where King Arthur dreams, by Penmaen Mawr defiant, Llaregib Hill, a molehill seems, a pygmy to a giant. By Sawdde, Seni, Dyfi, Di, Edw, Eden, Aled, all, taff and tawi, broad and free, Llyfnant with its waterfall, Cleirwen, Cleddau, Dilais, Daw, Eli, Gwili, Ogwr, Nedd, small is our River Dewi, Lord, a baby on a rushy bed. By Carreg Cynnen, King of Time, our heron head is only a bit of stone with seaweed spread where gulls come to be lonely. A tiny dingle is Milkwood by Golden Grove neath Gronga. But let me choose, and oh, I should love all my life and longer to stroll among our trees and stray in Goosegog Lane on Donkey Down and hear the Dewi sing all day and never, never leave the town.
That was Joan Griffith reading from Dylan's wonderful poem, Under Milk Wood. And that is from a CD, which we've also used another track from earlier, called The Seven Ages of Man. It's got everybody on it, including the Duchess of Kent. It's got, really is superb. Can't recommend it highly enough. Right, where do we go next? And our first contribution from the lovely, talented, and wise Susan Patterson, the Bard of the Oregon Woods.
Your living home. Maybe you do not have the sounds of children running through the rooms. Maybe you do not hear the music of conversations late at night. Maybe these reflections of love and life do not shine in your home right now, and maybe it is not your preference to keep such remedies of humanity. But for the sake of your own health and well-being, put something else in. Take in a small creature, or two, or three, or more. Feed forest children, squirrels, birds, and tiny mice. Hear the sounds of their music. Learn the wisdom of the universe as they converse with you. All are part of God's creation, needing to be cared for by us. Take time, then, to be civil, to give grace, bring in life's variety, and learn of the intelligence beyond yourself.
To include all different kinds of poetry, and I especially like to include Rudyard Kipling. You know, The Jungle Book, Tales of Mowgli, there's such a wide range. And this is Edward Woodward, the late and the great, singing the song, I'm sorry, reading The Song of the English, The Song of the Dead, Mark II. This is requested by Jonathan and Kenny in New York, and by Mike and Allison in Derby, and by Ken and Joanna living up there in Inverness. Oh God, you can't get much further up than that. For all of you, here is the wonderful Edward Woodward. After this, we will have a short break of music and then a final few poems. The Summer of 18.
We have fed our sea for 1,000 years, and she calls us still unfed, though there's never a wave of all her waves but marks our English dead. We have strawed our best to the weed's unrest, to the shark and the shearing gull. If blood be the price of admiralty, Lord God, we have paid in full. There's never a flood goes shoreward now but lifts a keel we manned. There's never an ebb go seaward now, but drops our dead on the sand. But slinks our dead on the sands forlore from the Douces to the Swin. If blood be the price of admiralty, if blood be the price of admiralty, Lord God, we have paid it in. We must feed our sea for 1,000 years, for that is our doom and pride. As it was when they sailed with the Golden Hind, or the wreck that struck last tide, or the wreck that lies on the spouting reef where the ghastly blue lights flare. If blood be the price of admiralty, if blood be the price of admiralty, if blood be the price of admiralty, Lord God, we have
bought it fair. That was the thrilling rendition of that piece, wonderful piece of poetry, by Kipling and read by Edward Woodward. And now we will have a little musical intermezzo, although it may not be an actual intermezzo, but a short piece of music to break up the poetry. In this case, I'll tell you after. See if you can guess.
Thank you.
Well, if you didn't get that, I don't blame you, because I wouldn't have done. But we were sent very, very kindly by a listener who wishes to remain anonymous, an absolutely fabulous album, chock-packed with gorgeous stuff. The album is called 99 Must-Have Chill-Out Classics, which sounds a bit naff, but it's absolutely stuffed with fabulous, wonderful pieces of music that I'd never heard of, and that was Menuet 1 by Giacomo Puccini. Never heard it before, so that's good. Now, I've got a request, and I honestly really do. This is a request for one of my humble offerings. I'm not sure if we played it recently or not, but this is the one that Thomas and Elaine of the beautiful city of Bath have asked me to play. City Soundscape by me, Edmund. So I hope it's not too tedious, and if it is, it's only 2 minutes 40 odd, and you can spool forward. Lovely old phrase that. Anyway, City Soundscape for you, and thank you for the request and the nice comments.
City Soundscapes. If you listen, you can hear it, the city, it sings. If you stand quietly at the foot of a garden, in the middle of a street, on the roof of a house, it's clearest at night when the sound cuts more sharply across the surface of things, when the song reaches out to a place inside you. It's a wordless song for the most, but it's a song all the same, and nobody hearing it could doubt what it sings. The song sings out loudest when you pick out each note. Like a mesmeric bell toll, the false and the real as loud as each other, crying their needs to the night like an understaffed orphanage, babies wah-wahing in darkened wards, sung sirens sliding through the streets, streaking blue light from distress to distress, the slow-heaving urgency through the darkest of the dark hours, a lament lifted high, held above the rooftops and fading away, lifted high, flashing, fading, past, fading away. All these things sing constant. The machines and the sirens, the cars and the blurting hay and rumbling all headlong, the hoots and shouts and hums and the crackles all come together and rouse like a choir sinking and rising with the turn of the wind, counter and solo, the harmony, humming, expecting more voices. So listen, as the singing and crying all swells up, all the rumbles and crashes and banging and slams, all the noise of the song of the city, which you can hear if you only listen to the song. And it stops in some rare and sacred dead time from out of the night into this city. The briefest of silences, like a falter between heartbeats, like a darkness between blinks. Secretly there is always this moment, an unexpected pause, a hesitation, as one day is left behind and a new one begins. A catch of breath, as gasometer lungs begin slow exhalations, a ring of tinnitus, as thermostats interrupt air conditioning fans. These moments are always there, always, but they rarely last longer than a flicker of thought. We are in that moment now. There is silence, and the whole city is still.
There we go, City Soundscapes. I've had a request, and I know it's probably not appropriate, and I'm not sure which show to request it for, so I'll leave it in your hands. A while back, Susan Patterson did a wonderful essay on a New Year's show. I think, and I heard it again recently, that it's something we could all do with hearing on a fairly regular basis, once every 6 or 7 months. Do you think you could do it? I think it was 2013, New Year's Radio Kinva. Right, I played it and I think you're absolutely right. So let's have this. Susan Patterson's thoughts then, just as relevant and I think important now.
Regarding the question of humanity, occasionally I have been accused of being preachy. Be that as it may, and with a wink and a smile, here I go again. The answer to the question is, I don't know. But what is the question? Is it, how do we feed our millions? How do we educate them? How do we even get enough water for each of us to drink on this planet? I don't know, but a group of some people somewhere probably does know or can figure out the answer without too much trouble. What we most likely need to ask ourselves is, what do we really want to do? If you have listened to my poetry over the years, you probably know that I think that we humans are a pretty wretched lot. I am stunned at how savage and how stupid we can be. We fight and kill and maim and cheat. Most of the time, all of this is done in the name of religion. Shame on us! This is disgusting and cowardly. Shame! But if you have listened to my poetry, you will also pick up the fact that I have faith in us as well. I believe that we have the capacity to be sons and daughters of God with great knowledge and with great powers. No, I have not eaten from the apple in the garden. No, I am not the devil incarnate. I just see what science has offered to us and what my mind tells me is possible. So, do we want to have all humanity educated? Do we want each of us to have enough food and water? Do we want to live without fear of constant war? Do we want women and children to be safe from slavery, raping, burning, and murder? I cannot answer that for you. Once again, I don't know the answer, but someone does. Or at least someone knows how to start to find the answer. What I can answer is that I want my little world to be good. I want to help those around me to have enough to eat, including the various non-humans that live in my world. I want those in my little area to be safe. That is, at this point, all my mind can manage. But if I work at it, then I can probably manage more and maybe help someone in his or her own world. My poetry might help with that. I don't know. So now you know what I don't know. Here is what I do know. Each of us have choices every day. we make millions of right and wrong choices in the span of our lifetime. Even though genetics and our environment influence us, we can make decisions. It is ours to decide what we do. We decide to be happy, to be angry, or to be sad. Oh, I'm not talking about momentary emotions which come to us. I am talking of critical decisions of what to do, where to go, what to think, how to feel. I am talking of a lifetime of decisions on how to be a human. We can be good humans or not so good humans. I know that we can make the world better and safer. I know that we can influence humanity. I believe this is so because I know that what we do in small ways, we also do in big ways. So if I can make my small world better by my choices, it is quite probable that I can make the big world better by my choices. You can too. I challenge you to know your answers in 2013. This is Susan Patterson, thanking you for listening.
Thank you, Susan. That was fascinating. It was good to hear it again. Wise words always stand repeats. Now, 43 minutes 22. To close, we're going to have a special request. There's 27 people over the last 6 months have asked to hear this. I'm not going to read out all your names. I'm just going to say that it's Derby, Macclesfield, Manchester, Scotland, many, three places in Scotland, and five in England. They all want to hear the lovely Geoffrey Palmer read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, the King James Version from Words for You. A wonderful way to close. Thank you for being with us. I'll come back and say bye-bye as soon as we've heard this.
For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace.
That was beautiful. That was, of course, Geoffrey Palmer reading Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, the King James Version, attributed to King Solomon. The music was Vivaldi Concerto in Due Cori, an excerpt from the second movement. And that is it. We are done. We're dusted. Summer 18 Poetry Pod is ready to come out to you, and I hope that you enjoy it. And we've touched on some of the things you'd wanted to hear. It's always hard to get everybody in. But thank you for listening. We'll be back, I hope, in the spring, all of us being spared. And until then, as always, if you're down, let us know. On RKWP, we can play you a music or a poem or just say hello. But if you don't tell people, they can't help. So hope you have a great week. If you don't, you know what to do. And this is Poetry Pod, Summer 18, saying thank you very much. And Edmund Preston saying bye for now. Bye-bye.
That was Poetry Pod, a gathering of poems requested by you,
the listeners of Radio Kinver. Thank you and good night, wherever you are.